What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, first question this week came in via email. Why aren't y'all calling? It's okay.
Call John.
Yeah, call me. Yeah, I'll totally just give my personal number out. Why not?
Well, they can call the regular line and just ask for John. Just leave this message is for John.
Yeah. How's your day? You know, just
how's your day?
Let me know you're still there. I miss you.
What haunted booze are you targeting next?
Man, yeah. If you got haunted booze out there, let me know. First question came in via email. Hi, BD crew. Quick question. What's your favorite horror movie or series, new or old, that you watched in February? Peter. I'll start because it's fairly easy. I really didn't watch that much in February. Most of what I watched is what I talked about on the show. You know, obviously, the three of us watch a lot more than we ever talk about, or at least more. It's just sometimes like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that one. That's okay. I'll just move on.
Yeah.
But there really weren't that many that I watched and then didn't kind of report back on. A couple found footages that disappointed me a little bit. I was excited. Like, oh, new found footage from 10 years ago that I'd never heard of. And I was like, oh, didn't work. So for me, it's kind of a coin flip. It's between Studio 666 because of my love for the Foo Fighters and cheesy slasher grindhousey type.
Just aside, because I'm going to derail things quickly, do you ever see the name or say the name in your head, Foo Fighters, in Christopher Walken's voice?
No, but probably from now on, damn it.
Sorry, he did that skit so well that I was like, Foo Fighters!
Have you seen the Dave Grohl bit on that where he talks about
yes,
it?
Yes.
Where he asks where's the emphasis? And he goes, the fighters. It's on fighters. Goes,
okay, Foo the fighters. Foo Fighters. Yes. That's what I have in my head every time now that I see the Foo Fighters.
I'll probably start thinking that now too.
I ruined it for you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It'll get. I'm going to their concert this summer. Maybe it'll be over by then. But maybe not.
Be in the crowd chanting it that way. Fighters!
They bring up guest stars or guest people all the time. Maybe Christopher Walken will introduce the band.
That would be incredible. That would be worth the price of admission.
Anyway, it was Studio 666 or Prince of Darkness. Those were my two favorites that I watched. They were both first watches for me. And both really weird, and understandably, if there are other people's not favorite things, I get it, but I enjoyed them. Like, Prince of Darkness was so weird, and Studio 666 was just bloody cheesiness, so nothing wrong with that for me. How about you, Xena?
I'm sorry, I was in the middle of drinking.
I know.
Sparkling water, I'm not drinking, you know. So I have two. So Door, 1988, which I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Love the cinematography. I felt like I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Great performances, great soundtrack. And then one I didn't really get a chance to talk about, sadly, Lisa Frankenstein. I thought it was super cute. It was fun. I love the colors. Yeah. Had a good time
with
it.
Very vibrant.
Nice. How about you, Megan?
One that I also talked about on the show, which is Stop Motion. I just think that that movie is really good and creepy because of the stop motion and the squelching sounds. The sound design on that movie is incredible. So yeah, that one I think is my favorite February watch.
And that's coming out Shudder this month?
No, it's supposed to hit VOD this month, I think, because it went to limited theaters and I think it's going to digital and then Shudder exclusive, I think, at the end of May.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, is that it will be on Shudder. I thought there was something on Shudder that was coming out this month that I was excited for and I'm spacing
there's
on it.
Probably a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, Satanic Hispanics on Shudder this Friday.
Maybe that was it.
Ghost Watch is on Shudder again.
Nice. I recently tuned a horror fan of mine who'd never heard of it before onto it. I'm like, dude, you got to watch it. Come on.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And Stop Classic. Motion will be out on VOD next Friday. So that's
there you
cool.
go. See? Nice. Yeah. And then Shudder streaming in May. I think it's the 31st, but don't hold me to that.
And I saw Last Voyage of the Demeter is streaming now too. And that's definitely on my watch list. Looking forward
to
that.
I like it.
Oh, it's the... David Dismulchin has it's like a retro. It's like
Late
it's
Night with the Devil.
That's what I'm looking Shudder? For. I thought that was a Shudder exclusive. Oh no, that's one of the theaters this month.
Yeah, it's usually how they go. Is like the Shudder exclusives tend to have some kind of either theatrical or VOD release, and then it will go to Shudder.
That's right. I really want to see that. That looks really good.
It looks well. It'll be in theaters on the 22nd, and then it'll be on Shudder April 19th.
There you go.
I have it in my calendar. It's a very important date.
I kind of see Dune before then at some point. We'll see. Now that we're totally derailed. Second question that came in from Instagram at Madam Warrington. What comedy or romance or rom-com would you like to see redone as a horror movie? They're all horror movies.
Yeah. They can veer so quickly into like Fatal Attraction territory.
Oh, I mean girl goes to or small town girl moves to big city, goes back to small town, rekindles love with boyfriend or ships passing in the night, only to find out that he's got bodies in the basement. Pretty much all of them. How about Love Actually? But every story has some sort of a horror twist to it.
Rom-com anthology.
Yeah, but they're all tied together. Like somehow
that's cool.
Like make it like real Southbound style. Like let's like make sure these make sense together and they're all kind of passing one direction or another.
Yeah.
I do that. Yep. How about you, Megan?
I was trying to think because, I think if you were to add like a horror movie score, so many of them could already be probably a horror movie. But so I think something maybe like 13 going on 30 where there's like an extra element, you know, she gets stuck in time and she can't go back. And then there's horror things on top of that. Yeah.
She moves forward in time and realizes she's become a serial killer in her 30s.
And she's like on death row and she can't go back. I don't know. I'm just totally spitballing here.
That'd be amazing. Like all of a sudden, like all of a sudden figure out like Final Girls or something, but like figure out like, oh my God, I kill people. Like, how did I get here? And like try to undo it. And so that'd be awesome.
See,
I'd watch the hell out of that.
Rom-coms, perfect for horror.
Well, there's so many time traveling horror movies now. So why not? Yeah. Just fit right into it. I'll be easy.
I actually went in on this question because I love it. And I think about this often and I may already have a pitch deck for one of them. So let's start with
amazing.
Since we were talking about time, well, kind of like time travel or being stuck in a loop. Palm Springs to me from 2020, I feel like could totally be a horror movie. It's basically about these two wedding guests. They get, you know, they're developing some feelings. Oh, so nice. And then, you know, they just get stuck in a time loop where over and over again. And then each time they just start killing people over and over. Like, I think that'll be cool. Then another one, never been kissed. Okay. We can go two ways with this one. We can go supernatural, or we could just do old school slasher, where it's just like, you know, at this point, she decides she wants to suck the life out of the youth so she can remain young. That could be a
40-year-old virgin, the sequel. Yes.
Right. You know, or she could just go on a wild slashing killing spree, killing like her former like classmates and then killing the new ones because you know what? They reminded her of her past. And then just the last one, because I have a love-hate relationship with this movie, Love and Basketball. There's just something about it that I just want to fight everybody in the movie. So I feel like this one can totally be turned into There's Cannibals. And, you know, if you want to know more,
Love
let me know.
And Basketball and Cannibals.
And Cannibals. Yeah.
I'm sold on the name alone.
Yeah.
Great question.
Love in the Time of Cannibals.
Speaking of eating people, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world and help us discuss the disgusting. You know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
Zena can also be found at Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, at Be Disgusting, at Lovely Zena on Twitter, and at Real Queen of Horror on Instagram. Just throwing all that out there. Go follow Zena. But like on social media, don't follow her. Don't be weird.
Yeah, come on.
And I'm done. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So I'll start off partially because last week, I know, a little different, we threw the interview in there, and it was because I was out of town. I was very privileged and grateful enough to be in a position where I was able to bring all my narrators together for the very first time, my narrators from the Creepy Podcast. And most of us, the production team, met down in New Orleans last week.
Nice.
And had a state of the state and kind of talk about where things are at and the future and other avenues we can work on. And then just kind of had a good time eating and drinking too. And yeah, it was really fun. It's one of my favorite places. And it was really awesome to know that this thing that started out as almost a goof is not only my job, but something that I could share with other people and be able to do something like that for my crew is really awesome.
That is awesome. And congrats on making it to this stage.
Yeah, I know it's a pretty big deal. And in podcasting, especially our podcast, some podcasts don't record remotely. Obviously, we do. But other podcasts, they're in the same room or whatever, but we're all scattered across the United States. So it was really awesome to all be in the same place at the same time when it didn't involve, you know, anyone like trying to avoid being murdered or me trying to murder any of them and stuff like that. So, yeah. So I didn't get a ton of horror. And although I have noticed that Delta has been showing a lot more horror movies lately, and I appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Delta.
Yeah, they're doing what they can. There's only so much you can do. I did watch Oppenheimer, which is the true horror movie, as much as anything else, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, I have continued my blind spot watching, and I started out with a classic that I'd never seen before, and it was 1958's The Blob, which was available on Tubi. I'm not sure if it still is. It might have ended in February. Might be back.
The 88 one is on Tubi now, I saw.
I saw that too, yeah, when I was pulling up the synopsis for this. The very lengthy synopsis of an alien life form consumes everything in its path as it grows and grows. That's it. Not accurate, really. Kind of. I was surprised. So this is a Steve McQueen classic, a horror movie classic, obviously, especially from the era that it came from and the remakes that it spawned and the parodies that it spawned and everything else. And I kind of forget how at some point horror started being more horror. And I don't have a good way of describing this. So the first like half of The Blob really is people. Mm-hmm. Like, the blob is happening, but it's really not the focus. You get some scenes of the blob and, like, kind of what the blob can do. Definitely not, like, the 1988 version of what the blob actually does to people. It's kind of like, where'd the doctor go? I don't know. Like, you did, things get consumed. And it was more just kind of like greaser. It's more like watching Rebel Without a Cause at the start. So I thought it was, and some of the stuff was just hilarious. Like, quick, officer, the doctor's been killed. Oh, I'm not going to get fooled by you kids again. Like, wait a second. Is that a normal thing back then to say people had died and to get the police to show up?
Like, there was less to do. There was no online. So we just prank call the police station, right?
Not just prank call, but prank call that people were dead. Like, dang. You teenagers who look like you're 30 years old were rough back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny watching Steve McQueen in that and then seeing Steve McQueen in Bullet and being like, you're the exact same age, I think, in these two movies.
He does not look like he belongs in high school in The Blob. No. Like, no, nothing against his performance. I think that The Blob is a classic, but he is definitely... It's the same thing I feel like watching Grease. The kids,
yeah,
you know, people want to complain about 20-somethings playing high schoolers. Go back then where there are clearly middle-aged men in these greaser jackets.
That was insane.
Yeah, I texted you two that my wife and daughter watched The Craft last week before we went out of town. And my daughter was largely not affected by the movie. The only thing she didn't like was the bugs. She was bothered by the bugs. But otherwise, she's like, I don't know. It seems kind of cool.
Like, that's how teen girls felt when we watched it in the 90s. Yeah.
She was just like, no, it's cool. I think that I want to be a witch. I was like, yep. All right, cool. Be a witch.
Yeah, that's the standard for us ladies watching the Craft for the first time.
But she had also watched Grease like the week before, 2 weeks before. And she was basically rolling her eyes through the whole thing. She's like, why are people acting like this? And probably how old are these people? But at her age, everybody looks old. So,
yeah.
And then I went back to an old favorite, and it was 2000's American Psycho, which at least was, I think still is, streaming on Peacock. A wealthy New York City investment banking executive, Patrick Bateman, hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his coworkers and friends as he delves deeper into his violent hedonistic fantasies. All right, that was pretty accurate. This one, you know, it's all about Christian Bale's performance. He does such a great job of being dead behind the eyes, and as we've recently found out in the last few years, playing Tom Cruise, as he referred to Tom Cruise's interview on the David Letterman show as being his model, because he was full of this energy and exuberance, but there was nothing in his eyes. Like, there was no life in his eyes. And it's like, wow, I couldn't even imagine hearing that as an actor, because you hear so many great stories about Tom Cruise too, outside this Scientology stuff that we'll never get into, but like of just how thoughtful he is and how all these things. So when you hear that, and you know, obviously for those of us who remember him jumping on a couch on Oprah's couch, like, yeah, there's stuff going on there.
Yeah.
I like to think that he's not killing prostitutes. And legally speaking, I have to say he's probably not. The movie itself, while it's considered horror, it treads the line. It could only do so much because it was based off Bret Easton Ellis' book, which is incredibly graphic. There are the descriptions of torture go on and on and on. It's a very dense book. It's kind of a hard read, honestly. Like, it took me a long time to get through. And anything that you saw in American Psycho, if you thought, wow, he's really messed up, it's nothing. It is not even close to the description and the detail and the torture that goes on in the book. So if you want to read the book for that, go right ahead. But it gets bad. This, by comparison, is very charming and fun.
Charming.
One of my favorite performances from Willem Dafoe, too. It's kind of earlier Willem Dafoe. If you watch his performances in particular, I found out they actually filmed it 3 different times. Every time you see Willem Dafoe, it's spliced together scenes from 3 different takes. One take is he believes Patrick Bateman is a killer. The second take is he thinks that he's not a killer. Third is he's not sure if he's a killer. And in editing, they spliced them together so you could never quite get a read on what he thought. And I thought that was brilliant to do something like that in post to keep people on their toes. I thought that was amazing. So watch out for that. If you've seen it already, take another look and check out Willem Dafoe's performance. I think it's really great. All right, enough of me rambling on that. How about you, Xena?
Sure. So I checked out Ninja Kamu on HBO Max. It just came out last month. So former ninja Joe Hegan is ambushed by assassins who seek bloody revenge on him and his family for their betrayal after escaping his clan and fleeing to America. So I recently started rewatching anime again. And so my husband and I, we started watching this, this series, and it brought me right back to my childhood. I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but as a kid, I used to be like a crazy anime fan. Like I was so obsessed with Toonami. It was insane. Aww,
I did not know this.
Yeah, I had websites and it, anyway, point is, yeah, it's been a while since I watched something like this that brought me back to my childhood, and not in the bloody violence type of sense, because this one is very, very bloody and violent and vicious and fast paced. And I feel like if you're looking for something like this, I highly recommend it.
So is this one's anime?
Yes.
Is it kind of like on like Afro Samurai?
Yes.
Kind of level for violence. Yes. And cool.
Just like that. Yeah.
Nice.
Movie wise, it reminds me of David Cronenberg's A History of Violence. It has like a hint of like John Wick, like action wise, and even Kill Bill. Nice. So yeah, it's kind of hard to explain it without spoiling it, you know, so I'll just leave it as it is. But yeah, if you're looking for something new to watch and you're curious, I recommend checking this one out. In total, there's 12 episodes. It's a week by week thing, sadly. So I'm already hooked in. There's only 4 episodes that's out. Again, I'm in love. And a backstory on it is it's directed by Sung-woo Park. He directed a couple of things that you guys probably would have heard about, like The God of High School. I remember watching that like a little while ago. Anyway, point is, be warned though, the first episode, it will really destroy your soul because it destroyed me. Yeah, so trigger warning with that one. But again, it's fast paced, it's fun, very splattery with that one.
You're hooked.
Trigger warning, soul destroyer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then the next thing, I finally checked out The Conference on Netflix from 2023. So basically a team building conference for employees turns into a nightmare when corruption is accused amongst them. And so, yeah, the next thing you know, there's a mysterious figure that begins murdering them one by one. I feel like the best way to describe this one, it is Friday the 13th meets the office. So it's like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So yeah, it starts off with these employees. They're going on this retreat. Well, they're headed to this retreat. And then there's a weird person, madman with a mascot head that just shows up and just starts slaughtering people. This one has been on my watch list for a while. So shout out to LT. They were a guest on our show maybe in November or December. And they just they recommended it. So I really appreciate it. But yeah, if you ever worked out of an office, I feel like you'll be able to recognize some people that you worked with, most definitely amongst these characters. And again, if you're in the mood for something fun, that's a bloody slasher, highly recommend this one. I feel like the kills are like crazy amazing. And I want to spoil it and tell you one of my favorite ones that literally made me scream, but I won't. So if you're curious, you're just going to have to check it out.
What episode does it happen in?
Well, this one is a movie. So,
I totally went back to the kills.
You got him hooked on the anime series.
I did.
Yeah. That's the only room.
I'm not an anime guy, but like every once in a while, like One Punch Man or whatever will suck.
I don't know.
I'll check it out.
With that one, I think that you'll enjoy it. At least give the first episode a try. See how you feel about it.
For sure.
But yeah, that's what I checked out.
Nice. How about you, Megan?
So the Criterion Channel has a bunch of fun collections right now, and there's one about cat movies, and it has some interesting stuff in there, like Sleepwalkers, which I do like, but it also had the cat, and I'm so happy that it had the cat because it's been on my list forever. The cat, it's 1992. It is the same director, Lam Nicoy, who did The Story of Ricky O and The Seventh Curse. Nice. And The Seventh Curse is one of my all-time favorites you just have to watch it and you'll know instantly, and then it'll be one of your favorites. But it's the same series. So The Seventh Curse is based on the Wisely novels, and this is also based on the Wisely novels. So this one is, you know, an alien girl and her alien cat, and there's also like another knight. They're on Earth to try and get rid of a bad alien, very like creature monster blobby thing that possesses people. So that's why they're there, and they end up teaming up with Wisely, who is no longer played by Chow Yun-fat. It's another actor. But I don't think it's as nonstop wild as Seventh Curse, but it is still a Lam Nai-Koi movie, which means that it is goopy gory. It is violent. Wisely doesn't know that he can trust these aliens. But it is also epic. It is still has that same sense of like tone and gore and fun. There's also the most epic fight sequence that you will ever see in a movie. And I say that with a wry grin because it is very over the top silly. It is a massive, I don't even want to spoil it, but let's just say it's not a human battle and it is their showstopper sequence. There's even like stop motion animation included in this fight sequence. It's that fun. So yeah, if you really like, you know, his movies, if you love the story of Ricky O, which you should, because it's incredible. Insane. It's that kind of insanity. So yeah, okay. It's fun, and it is on Criterion Channel. So, you know, but who would have thunk? So a story of Ricky. So if you haven't seen that either, knock them both out. This next one I'm going to set up quite a bit because it's on YouTube and it's not like a studio released movie you can rent. This is a movie that is impossible to find because the filmmakers disowned it long ago. So they're not really going to bring it back. I'm not really an advocate of piracy, except when it comes to film preservation, when there's no other option, you're not making money off of it. And there is this group, I think they're called Kinoneko on YouTube. I will find them. But they're like a professional fan sub group. And they did a transfer of this film. It's called Sweet Home from 1989. So they did this very rare transfer that is available on YouTube right now. That is probably the best this movie is ever going to look. And probably the only time you're really going to have a chance to see it, because it's not one that they're ever going to be releasing because of all of the issues behind the scenes. But Sweet Home, 1989, it is a Japanese horror movie that was directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who went on to do Cure and Pulse, aka Cairo. And at the same time that this movie was released, it was released in conjunction with a video game from Capcom based on the movie, also called Sweet Home, that would then directly inspire Resident Evil. So this movie / game is responsible for Resident Evil. So Sweet Home, directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, it is about a TV production crew. They're going to this sprawling mansion in the middle of nowhere to document the infamous painter who used to live there and create these masterworks. And there was tragedy there. When they start filming, they obviously disturb some sleeping forces there and come under attack of the ghost of the painter's wife. So what makes this so unique, besides the Resident Evil inspiration and that it is early Kiyoshi Kurosawa, Dick Smith, the legendary Dick Smith, who did, you know, The Exorcist makeup and a lot of other things, he is the one, they brought him in to do special effects. Nice. So you have this crazy special effects extravaganza. Kiyoshi Kurosawa, this does not really feel like his type of movie, and that's partially because it's almost not. Part of the reason why it's kind of fallen into this state of obscurity is, you know, there was a producer who had very different designs on this movie and ended up quietly reshooting some things behind his back. So the finale for sure is not Kurosawa's, and that's part of like where it all went wrong. But as a whole, like, this movie is very fun. I think it takes a while to get going, and it does feel very poltergeist as far as the music and, like, the crazy effects. If you are somebody who likes these big, over-the-top effects, gory deaths, monstrous ghost creatures, like, It's really, really fun. So it is a very fun movie. I had a great time with it. I am really happy that there are people like this group that will kind of save these movies from completely getting left out of cinematic history.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So does this movie start kind of with video games spliced in?
No. Hmm. There's no video game in there. I have the link that I could
Yeah, share. I found one from Helgen X or something, but like the start of it, it looks like it's spliced in like a top-down video. Like there's some weird little video game insert moments.
Maybe yeah, no, this thing. Was released like at the same time, so it wouldn't have had the video game, but there is no video game footage in it. Oh, it's just like if you wouldn't have known that there was a video game, like
sure.
There's no ties to the video game in the movie itself. But okay. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it? I watched 1958's The Blob, which was available on Tubi. I'm not sure where it's at now. And 2000's American Psycho, which is still available on Peacock.
So I checked out Ninja Kamu, and that's available on Max, and The Conference, and that's available on Netflix.
I watched The Cat on Criterion Channel and Sweet Home on YouTube.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken. To find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
It's going to be a very busy summer for the Shyamalan family. I know M. Night Shyamalan has a movie called Trap coming out sometime that I'm sure we will hear more about as it gets closer. But in the meantime, from producer M. Night Shyamalan comes The Watchers, which was written and directed by first-time feature filmmaker Ashana Night Shyamalan, his daughter, who also helmed a few episodes of Servant, which was an excellent show. And this movie is based on the novel by A.M. Shine. Warner Brothers recently debuted the mysterious trailer for it, which I don't know if you watched, but it definitely looks like that kind of M. Night Shyamalan mystery box type feature. So, yep. But yeah, New Line Cinema, they are set to open The Watchers in theaters internationally beginning on June 5th in North America and internationally on June 5th and then in North America on June 7th. So, yeah, it'll be distributed worldwide by Warner Brothers. And the film follows Mina, a 28-year-old artist who gets stranded in an expansive, untouched forest in Western Ireland. When she finds shelter, she unknowingly becomes trapped along three strangers who are watched and stalked by mysterious creatures each night. So Dakota Fanning plays the artist. Georgina Campbell from Barbarian is also one of the people in there with her, along with Oliver Finnegan and Olwen Ferrer, who was in a lot of things from Mandy to The Northman to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Netflix one. So yeah, I don't know if you saw the trailer, but I am very much intrigued.
Yeah, I checked it out. It kind of had a Village feel to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not because it's a period piece, but if you watch the trailer, I think it's the who's doing this sort of thing.
Like who's watching us, yeah.
Yeah, who's watching the monster type, what's going on. I'll be curious to see if there's following in her father's footsteps, working on the twist, or if the twist is just built in because of the suspense of what's going on.
I don't know. I kind of want it to be creatures, though, because I like the idea of, like, monsters having TV in the form of just putting people in a box and watching them.
A zoo, right? Human zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. We even monsters want entertainment.
Yeah.
I think that it's super cool that she's following in her dad's footsteps, just kind of like what you guys already said. So, and it seemed like she learned a lot from him, you know, filming-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm way more okay with Nepo babies when they're in the horror space. Like, oh, cool, create more content. Okay.
Yeah, give me more horror, kids of horror greats. Yeah. And then, I don't know, I feel like this is something that might be up John's avenue or something you're familiar with, at least. But fans of Tales from the Crypt and horror-tinged anthology series like Black Mirror should get ready for Tales from the Void. It's Screambox's brand-new original series that delivers 6 chilling tales of terror, each adapted from the extremely popular subreddit No Sleep, which has like 18 million subs. And that's where I think that maybe, John, is familiar territory for you. That seems like your alley.
Well, I'm familiar because the executive producer, David Cummings, who created the No Sleep podcast, had posted about this when the news dropped. And I'm not jealous at all.
Get on the notes. Start writing stories. But yeah, the first episode will play several festivals before premiering this fall on Screambox, just in time for Halloween. It was created by Francesco Lo Schiavo. I am butchering the name. I'm sorry. But the series features the directorial talents of filmmakers like Joe Lynch, Marit Ligo, who did Black as Night as part of the Amazon House of Horrors, and the Addams Family, Hellbender. And Francesco himself is also doing an episode. But yeah, Francesco and John Thomas Kelly serve as co-showrunners on the series. The pilot episode, directed by Joe Lynch, is based on the short story The Black Square by Matt Demsersky. There you go. Slated to debut later. Additional notable No Sleep stories featured include Betsy the Doll by Rebecca Klingel, a.k.a. C.K. Walker. Nice. And I used to hack baby monitors, but one night I learned my lesson by Manon Lissette. What a title. That is a very long title.
That's a classic one.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go. See, that I'm not familiar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not familiar with the other two titles. Manon Lissette's story, the baby monitors, I'm familiar with. That was an older No Sleep story. Rebecca Klingel, a.k.a. C.K. Walker, she's probably best known for her story Baraska, which was adopted by Q Code. She has also written a lot of the Mike Flanagan stuff. She's been on that writing staff, so she's worked with Haunting of Hill House and Black Mass. I think most of his stuff. She's a fantastic writer. I'm excited. Again, I'm insanely jealous. And so happy for them. They're great writers. Matt Demersky's a fantastic writer, too. I haven't read that story, but he's got one called Psychosis. That's a real creepypasta classic I recommend people check out. It's more horror and horror coming from really great people that have been working really hard in the industry for a long time without as much credit as I think they were due.
Oh, well, maybe that changes now or maybe when it releases. So fall. And then last but not least, the first installment in brand new reboot trilogy from Lionsgate and director Rennie Harlan, The Strangers Chapter 1, will be in theaters nationwide on May 17th. It is said to be something of a remake of the 2008 original film, while its sequels, the next two chapters, will kind of obviously be a departure from there. It stars Madeline Petsch, Froy Gutierrez, Rachel Shenton, Emma Horvath, and Gabe Basso. The project features Petsch, who drives cross-country with a longtime boyfriend to begin a new life in the Pacific Northwest. When their car breaks down in Oregon, they're forced to spend the night in a secluded Airbnb where they are terrorized from dusk till dawn by 3 masked strangers. So, Rennie Harlan directing from a script by Alan R. Cohen and Alan Friedland. The trailer arrived late last week, which is a very interesting trailer because it's definitely like, here's the first movie all over again, but with some very notable shifts. Like, instead of them being at the end of their relationship, they're very much happily in love. So I don't know if either of you saw the trailer and had thoughts.
Yeah, I gave it a watch. And yeah, just like you said, it's very familiar. Yeah. They were just rebooting it from the way some of the shots were. Obviously there's some new stuff, but it still looks creepy as hell.
You get that, Zena?
Oh, sorry. I was just listening. Kind of similar to you. I'm kind of wondering if it is like a reboot or not, or when there's going to be something that's different or twist that's coming our way. I have a feeling that there will be.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, because we already kind of know one star will be in all three.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that means that there's some shifts towards the end that makes it clear where it's headed and sets it apart.
All right, listeners, your turn. What successes others have had are you jealous of?
What a question.
How many horror movies will it take before people start carrying satellite phones? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So, we have a good amount of some horror movies coming out this week. So, tomorrow, Tuesday, the 5th, this will be out already. T-Blockers, it will be available on VOD and DVD. So, this one involves a young filmmaker and her friends, and they go up against an ancient evil when an earthquake unleashes a parasite into their small, like, Australian town. And then Moon Garden, this one's also available on Shudder. It dropped on Shudder on Friday. So this one involves a young girl named Emma who slips into a coma, and then she finds herself in a surreal and industrial dream world where she's haunted by a monster who feeds off her tears. Isn't that kind of gross? No? Okay, you guys like it. All right.
I don't want to eat tears.
Then on Friday, we have Imaginary. This one will be hitting theaters. This one follows a woman who returns to her childhood home, and she discovers that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real and unhappy that she abandoned him. Then The Piper, this will be available on VOD. This one involves a composer who is finishing up her late mentor's work. And then next thing you know, there's some disturbing origins that awakens an evil. And then Frogman, so this will be available on VOD. And this found footage indie horror, it follows three friends who go in search of the Loveland Frogman and quickly finds out that he's more than just a local legend. John, have you heard of this one?
I haven't. The frog. I mean, there's an ongoing gag in the creepypasta horror community where if you're not sure what to call the bad guy, you just name a noun or an adjective and add the word man to the end.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because there's the cool bunny man and smiling. I made fun of it I think a year ago or whatever. It's like the number of man out there, slender man, bunny man, smiling man, happy man, laughing man, friendly man, like all these different ones are like, wow, just man.
Just man.
That's cool. Then we also have Night Shift. This will be available on VOD. While working her first night shift at a remote motel, a woman begins to suspect that the property is haunted. Then on Tuesday the 12th, the home invasion thriller, it'll be available. Followers, it'll be available on Screenbox. It said that this one is your next for the influencer generation. A year after surviving a brutal attack, a social media influencer and her friends find themselves once again in the crosshairs of a dangerous and relentless dark web cult. Then finally, we also have The Woods Are Real. This one will be available on VOD. This one follows a couple who is about charity above all. And then when one of their friends returned from a trip, you know, something horrible happens when they receive this invitation and it changes their lives. So that's pretty much what we have. And also sign up for Screenbox. I'm trying to say that nicer now.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe people need tough love. I don't know.
That's sometimes what I think, too. But I'm a little sleepy today. So you, oh, okay. Nice Xena.
You get nice Xena on Sleepy Monday. Yes. Well, Wednesday when this drops.
And as a note, there won't be an episode next week as Megan will be off partying at South by Southwest, but we will return the following week.
That all on me, John.
It's all your fault. And you're just going to go out there and party. Like, we know.
That's all I'm doing.
You're not even interested dancing. In the movies.
She goes to dance movies. And sing. That's critical.
Dance? Oh, gosh. Nobody wants that. Nobody.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at BloodyDisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, RealQueenOfHorror.com, and the YouTube channel the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly Horror Narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.